I ask the question, have you ever been happily enjoying eating something when disaster strikes? And the tasty treat that you've been enjoying, perhaps eating a little bit too enthusiastically, ends up splurged all over your favourite blouse or shirt. It can happen with cream cakes, can't it? Jam donuts, these types of things. And what was enjoyment is, oh, now disaster. And I wonder if you are a wearer of ties, you'll not be surprised by this story. My grandmother, shortly after my grandpa died, invited me round as she was sorting out my grandpa's clothes in the wardrobe. And she invited me to take a look at the many ties that he had and asked if I wanted any. When we looked at the ties, we had a really good laugh, because about half of them had had their tips dunked in whatever beverage my grandpa had had on his desk at work, often black coffee. Some showed evidence of red wine being drunk, although we assume that wasn't whilst he was working. And as much as tasty treats are enjoyed, that even if we don't spill them on a tie, blouse or shirt, they stain our teeth too, don't they? We see it on adverts all the time. They say black coffee, red wine, this toothpaste is great for all that type of thing. It's difficult to keep your pearly whites looking pearly. And if you have a toddler in the house, you will know what can happen to walls, furniture and your favourite books if you carelessly leave a biro lying around. Utter devastation. And the thing is, when these stains or marks happen, we find ourselves exerting huge amounts of energy, searching for something and applying that thing to eradicate the stain or mark so that it just goes away and things return to normal. And there's a great market for these products, aren't there? Huge market. Everyone is looking for the miracle of removing a stain or a mark. And they can be from various different things, from teeth to carpets to walls to clothes. And to the point where we have these jingles from the adverts that we see and hear on television ingrained in our minds. Seal it, bang, bang, and the dirt is gone. Mr. Muscle, love the jobs you hate. There's so many of them that promise a life of full whiteness. All steam, all clean. Be spotless, be bright. Clean clothes, clean life. Clean laundry, peace of mind. Clean it, it's your choice. Everyone has a reason to be clean. Clean, do it right. Fresh clothes, fresh life. One call cleans it all, and your family dream. What promises there are that get these stains and marks out of our lives forever. And maybe I've been using the wrong products, but they don't seem to deliver on their promises very well, not in our house at least. And if a quick fix doesn't work, then getting rid of stain requires harder work, doesn't it? If something has spilled, often backbreaking, scrubbing to get rid of the stain goes on. Or maybe, just like my grandpa, perhaps you just shrug your shoulders and think, I'll hang up my tie with the rest of them and buy myself another one. But whichever method to deal with the stain or mark that you go for, it's up to you. To be honest, I'd probably end up doing all three. I'm a bit tight, you see, so I'd probably spend ages scrubbing the stain with no success, and then think I don't want to buy a new garment or a new shirt or a new tie. I'll try buying the cheaper solution. A stick of Vanish should do the trick. And then that doesn't work, and I end up buying a new thing anyway. But why am I saying all of this? Well, it's because we all have a soul that is stained or marked by sin. We all do. And just as we would not dream of wearing a stained blouse or a shirt with a big horrible stain to someone's wedding feast, we are all invited to a wedding feast that is hosted by God, as we spoke last week of Christ marrying his church, would we really want to enter that with clothes that are stained? Well, if we wouldn't want to do that, we definitely wouldn't want to enter God's kingdom with a soul that is stained. People will tell you that there are lots of ways to remove the stain that sin causes. Some will tell you not to worry. Hey, we live in the 21st century now. We've become a bit more intelligent about these things. We don't recognize the concept of sin. And if you're not hurting anyone, well, who cares? And even if some people are affected by what you do, just so long as the majority of people are happy, it doesn't really matter. And it's a bogus argument, isn't it? Because a sin is a sin, regardless of how many people it affects. This argument doesn't address the sin and its consequence at all. And evidence of this can be seen in society at large today. And we all live and we're all part of this problem where we ignore sin to a certain extent in our lives, the way that we live. We're all guilty of buying cheap products, aren't we, that help our pocket, that add to our enjoyment, but are perhaps made in a sweatshop, or that harm a poor farmer who doesn't get a fair price for his crop or his product. It's shown in our laws, where our government allows babies who could survive outside of the womb to be brutally aborted. In no fault or no reason divorces, where people can give up on their marriages, even if their partner remains committed. We see that sin is protected by law when Jesus says there are very few reasons for divorce. No, for sure, this is not the way to deal with the stain of sin. It is like staining all of your ties, this way of living, isn't it? And doing nothing about it. And leaving them in your wardrobe until the day after you've died, when your wife opens the wardrobe and finds them all hanging there. Only we're not talking about clothes in a wardrobe here, are we? We're talking about the wardrobe of your life being opened after you died. And there, hanging amongst the clean clothes, are all these dirty, stained ones where you've not dealt with the situation one way or another. The stain remains. And watch out. There are some within the church, wolves dressed in sheep clothing, who will tell you it's okay to be like this. And it's not true. We must confess to God our sins. The reason why we do that is because it's so important that we deal with it, that the sin is dealt with and that the stain is taken away. Then there are those, many of these can be found in church as well as in the world, who will tell you that your good works will outweigh the sins you've committed, that you'll be okay if you do your bit for others. And as worthy as that sounds, it won't be enough. Imagine, if you would, some scales before you. And imagine all of the good works you've accumulated are put on the plate. And I'm sure many of you have got many more good works than I have that would mean that the plate on that side would weigh the scales down nicely. It would look very heavy. The balance must be in your favour, you think. Surely, you think, the sins I've committed aren't as many. Perhaps you have more confidence than me. My sins, I think, would still outweigh my good works. But for you, maybe, you might think that your good works would outnumber your sins and the scales would be in your favour. But it doesn't matter how many sins you can put on the scale on this side. Because sin is so heavy, it only takes one placed on the scales and the balance is flipped the other way. One sin is enough and it outweighs all the good works you've done in God's eyes because it stains you. You're not pure and you're not holy. And all that is pure and holy is in communion with God. And all that isn't pure and holy is not in communion with God. One sin outweighs any number of good works you could accumulate. So if you've sinned once, your soul is stained. Just think about that lovely blouse that you wore and just that one drop of red wine on it. It goes into the wardrobe and it probably won't be worn again. It's like a wonderful dress that's made with tassels and buttons. You could spend much time making it the most beautiful garment, but once it's stained, and it's the same with your soul. You cannot trust in yourself alone to accrue good works, to gain, wash away the stain of sin. Like a regular stain, no end of scrubbing can repair the damage that is done once it's done. Sin mars us and separates us from God. There are those who will tell you that there's a magic cure. This is the other thing that you'll hear, that there's a magic cure, don't worry. There's some magic in the form of help of voodoo, a lifestyle change, an ointment you can apply that can eradicate the consequence of sin on your soul. Don't believe them. I know so many people who spend their whole lives buying into the New Age lifestyle, convinced that what is wrong in their lives can be transformed by the next fad, by the next thing. I know people who have travelled halfway across the world in search of answers. When they get there, they're given some bumper sticker value wisdom, which doesn't help them at all when they get back on the road of life. They still have the same problems. Just as some regular stains cannot be washed away, not even with Silit Bang, the stain of sin and its consequences cannot simply be washed away. Not even, as Paul says, by any number of animal sacrifices. So we have a dilemma. We must be cleaned of our sin to enter the kingdom of God. And God makes it abundantly clear about this throughout Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16, God says, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong." They're very clear instructions, aren't they, what we must do. If we cannot hide our sins from God, if we cannot scrub ourselves clean, if we cannot use magic to get rid of the stains, then what can we do? Well, we've heard lots of slogans regarding household products, jingles that stay in our minds, but it seems we need to come up with a new one here to help us. We long for the words, "Bang, and the dirt is gone." Well, here is one for you. It's better than anyone that we hear on TV. It's not from some low-budget TV ad that can't be believed. This one comes directly from God, and it can be read in Scripture. It's from Isaiah, verse 18 of chapter 1. And it says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." White as snow. Like wool. That's what we're looking for, isn't it, when we're trying to get rid of a stain. If there was a cleaning product that offered this, we would perhaps go to the shop and buy it, wouldn't we? But God is offering this for our soul. There's another way, after all, to remove the sin of your life. And actually, there is no other way. This is the way. It says in Hebrews what Jesus says. It says he takes away the first covenant offering. That is the first method of sin removal. That's not good enough. It doesn't work. It's not a permanent solution. It's like brushing your teeth. Even though you use white glow toothpaste, you still have to, at the end of the day, use it again. What we want is something that works once and for all time. And Jesus says, he takes away the first covenant offering so that he can establish the second covenant offering. That is the method of sin removal. He takes away the one that doesn't work, and he introduces one that works. One that works to the point that we appear as white as snow. This is what he offers. We don't need to look in other places anymore. You don't need to hide sin as Adam and Eve hid from God in their sin in the Garden of Eden. You don't need to do that now. You don't need to rely on good works as the wealthy young man did who approached Jesus and told Jesus that he follows every letter of the law and asked him what he needs to do to enter the kingdom of God before Jesus replied, "Give up everything and follow me." You don't need to rely on magic and the wisdom of another. God's people on many occasions had turned to idols instead of worshipping God, and it didn't work. There is another way. As I said last week, you need to be transformed into Christ's likeness. Jesus is completely white, completely clean, white as snow, completely holy. And we need to desire to be like that if we want to enter the kingdom of God. We need to want to give up on our old ways, to give up on the world that, as we walk through it, dirt, grime just clings to us. We need to give up on that. God says in the first chapter of Isaiah, "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." So the matter is settled, isn't it, with God? Jesus came, sent by God. He came entirely as a human, but he maintained communion with God as God. He lived a sinless life and died on the cross as a substitute for us for our sins. He sacrificed himself for you and for me. He atoned for my sin and for yours. And he asks, "Do you want forgiveness from your sins? Do you want to be washed clean? Do you want to be made holy?" And if the answer is yes, then bang, as the nail goes into Jesus' hand, the dirt is gone. You shall be as white as snow. There's no need to search for any other way if you have Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He cleans you. You don't need to worry and have that anxiety anymore as you do when a stain happens on a tablecloth. Sorry about the chocolate stain here from the chocolate powder, by the way. You don't need to feel anxiety about that because you have a way that will make you clean. Don't search anymore. Jesus is the way. Trust him. Let him wash the stain of sin away from your life and be set free from the consequences of sin, ready to go and serve the Lord. To serve the Lord in the ways he has asked you to. To take up the cause of the fatherless. To plead the case of the widow. To learn to do what is right and to seek justice. And to defend the oppressed. Don't be bound by sin anymore. Be washed clean and go and do the work of God. Amen.